A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
Where KSL offers Utah deeper insights on the news.
Host Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason
and elevates the conversation on issues crucial to our community.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome to hour number two of the Expanded Inside Sources. Great to be with you from 1 to 3 every weekday here on KSL News Radio. I am Boyd Matheson, and it is time at the top of the hour for all of us to dig a little deeper, explore a little wider, challenge our assumptions a little stronger, and of course, when necessary, disagree just a little bit better. So let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day?
Think again.
And it is time to think again and a little bit deeper. Really pleased to have joining us on the program Shoshana Weissman, who joins us today. She is the Senior Manager of Digital Media and Communications at the R Street Institute in Washington, D.C. She's going to help us think again about the big tech Section 230 protections. And Shoshana, thanks for joining us on Inside Sources today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's great. Well, let's start with, for those of our listeners who aren't tracking this closely, let's start with Section 230. What does it really say? What does it really mean to us?
All it means is that if you post something online, just like if you do anything else in any other part of life, you're the one liable. And that's a place where you don't, where you post it isn't liable. Moderation is allowed by the First Amendment, but the liability for random people's crazy stuff online, That's making sure that that's not on platforms, big, small, your mom's blog comments. That's 230 makes sure that the liability is on the speaker.
Yeah, so it does make sure that we're responsible for what we say. And it's interesting, there have been some in conservative circles who have been upset with some of the censorship arguments, so to speak, in terms of what goes on there and who is responsible for what. And so there's been a lot of debate of late. As to is big tech having too much control, too much power there, or does it really go back to we the people really still have to be in control?
For sure. So I don't agree with every platform's decision. I think they make plenty of mistakes, but it's their right to make those mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
In part two, because without 230 or even with a weakened 230, you go back to the system where, and this is how it was before 230, where it was understood that if platforms didn't moderate, they didn't try to stop scams, they didn't try to protect users from harm in any way, that they wouldn't be liable for content, for anyone else's content. But the court started to say, well, if they do moderate, if they try to keep it family friendly, then they're liable for everything that they missed. And that's not a good incentive to have. The way 230 actually started was because, the Wolf of Wall Street, it was a case where he was suing someone for saying mean things about him on this old platform called Prodigy. And then the court said, yeah, I mean, Prodigy's liable because they tried to keep their platform family friendly. He didn't want money or anything. He just wanted the comments taken down, even though the comments ended up being true. But that's kind of like a heckler's veto. Someone says something bad about me online, and therefore I just get to take it down if I sue. And, you know, these platforms can't afford all these lawyers, and the ones that can don't want to have to use them all the time. And even if you get rid of 230, it's not going to help conservative speech because, one, you'll have a free-for-all where scammers, spammers, people who dox each other, just that really, really bad content will flow pretty freely on the platforms that don't moderate. And for the ones that do, they're going to want to stay as safe as possible because they're going to realize we're liable for anything that people post. So if your content makes them uncomfortable, they'll take it down. And assuming that moderators do lean left of center, even if they don't mean ill, they'll just understand liberal content better than conservative content and feel more comfortable keeping it up while conservative content loses. It's not to say everything is perfect, but this is a lot better than any of the alternatives.
Yeah, and that's the question I wanted to get to is this one of those scenarios where the cure, you know, where people are saying, well, we need to get rid of Section 230. You should just be done away. Is this one of those where the cure may be worse than the disease in the beginning?
Exactly. And that's exactly what I'm worried about, because right now, you know, the platform Clubhouse rose up and, you know, people are using it. They're liking it. Platforms change all the time. We used to worry about AOL and Yahoo being monopolies. We used to worry about MySpace being a monopoly. But like these companies come and go. And I don't particularly care if Facebook or Twitter stays forever. Like if it does and people like it, fine. But if not, fine. But I really worry about, like you're saying, a cure that's worse, that's far worse than the disease, but furthermore, one that also like would violate people's constitutional rights to free speech, to moderate as they see fit, to do what they see fit. And these companies are upsetting people. And, you know, over time, people are going to go to other places. There's many, many other tools online. But if you get rid of 230 and if you increase regulations and liability, it's going to hurt the people who are going to compete with them, the people who could be the next Twitter, the next better Twitter, the next Clubhouse, whatever it is. There's new platforms that come up all the time. Even Zoom during the pandemic just exploded and people loved it. And they don't moderate very much. They do a little bit, but not very much. But you know, you kill that innovation. And that's stuff I really care about because it can happen. People thought Facebook was kind of silly at first. I wrote off Twitter at first, and now I'm a big user. You know, we get stuff wrong all the time.
Yeah, that's right. And that that innovation, making sure we have that innovation for what is next, is so vital. Great insight. Shoshana Wiseman from R Street Institute in Washington, D.C. Appreciate your perspective on this. This is one that has some very interesting bedfellows coming together from different points of the left and the right. And we'll have you back to continue this discussion. I think we're just warming up on this one.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure. And an extra pleasure to be on a Utah station.
It's good. We're not moderating you today. So great stuff. Thanks so much. Shoshana Wiseman again, joining us. And as we round out our discussion on this, the thing that I think is important for all of us to think again about is this idea that sometimes we think, okay, well, you know, is this censorship? Is that censorship? We like it when they censor people that we disagree with, but you have to know that you're next. And so figuring out the right balance there, and a lot of this goes back to our discussion from the first hour about this idea that Dr. Wendy Watson-Nelson shared at UVU about emotional violence and this idea that I'm right, you're wrong, and you have to change. And so finding the space for that, I think, is so critical, so vital for all of us, because just be careful. If they can censor the person you disagree with just because you disagree with them, it's very likely they're going to disagree with you and censor you next.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.